be it while it lasts. Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended.
Here comes the money. Here we go. Money
talks. Here comes
the money.
The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks starts now.
What's up? What's up? It is Week in Wager, a little special time. Why? Well, the Knicks play later on tonight. That's why, taking on the Dallas Mavericks. 9:30 is tip-off, so you've got a pregame show coming your way at 9 o'clock. I'm with you until 8 to 9 tonight here on Week in Wager, brought to you by BetMGM. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports, and a lot to get to tonight. I'm going to kick off the show talking about what's going on around our wide, wide world of the NFL draft. What is the latest? What am I hearing in regard to the draft and some of the prop bets out there that you can make right now? Okay, so we're going to get into that. Also, I'll take your calls, 800-919-3776. You want to talk about the draft? I'm here to do it with you. All the talk and speculation is that the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson at 2. A lot of people feel the draft is going to start at 3 with the 49ers. Are they going to take Mac Jones? Are they going to take Justin Fields? We're going to dive into that tonight. The Giants sitting at 11. Could a really good athlete, whether it's offensive player, defensive player, fall to them at 11, considering there's apparently going to be this run of quarterbacks that are going to go early? That's a possibility. That's a chance. So we'll dive into all that. Also, Cynthia Freeland is going to join me on the show. The win in loss totals, over and under in regard to wins in losses for the NFL teams came out this week. So her and I do a deep dive. I share with her some of the win over under totals that I like with certain teams, and she shares with me hers. So we'll have that for you, and those are, again, bets that you can get in on right now. Very interesting. Get in now before the draft, because it might change. Like, for example, I personally feel like I don't know how Atlanta passes out on Kyle Pitts. I just don't. I think one would argue he's the best player in this draft. One would argue. And there's a chance that he's going to fall to 4. And there's also a chance that I'm hearing that Atlanta's owner, Arthur Blank, is going to walk into that draft room and say, I want a quarterback. And therefore, Atlanta might pass up on the best player in this draft for a quarterback in Trey Lance with very little experience and subpar competition in which we're grading him on. I just that just blows my mind. But that's a very, very good chance that can happen. So we get into that with Cynthia Freeland, and then good friend of mine, Moke Hamilton, will join us, and we'll talk about the Knicks and the Mavs game and some of the prop bets that are out there that you could get in on before tip-off. Also, we've got a golf tournament that's taking place, and that's the Heritage, and I'll have some golf picks and plays for you as well. So jam-packed show. We're here specifically, and our number one goal is to help you make some money when it comes to wagering. That's why we call the show The Weekend Wager, and again, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Okay. Again, phone lines are open. 800-919-3776. I'm happy to take calls. You want to jump in and talk about the draft? Now's the time to do it. So, again, what does this draft look like? This is what I'm hearing right now, okay? And again, Trevor Lawrence, obviously we know, going to the Jags. Wagering on it is ridiculous. You have to put for every $1,000 down that you put down that Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one overall to the Jags, you only win $10 back. So your return on your investment, or your return on your wager, is just, I mean, could it be money making money? It could be, you know, but regardless, you're not going to wager on that. Zach Wilson going to the Jets, every $1,000 you put down, you get back $20. Again, return on your money, worth it? No, it's not. You're not going to draft on the first or second pick. You're just not. And I know this week there's some talk and speculation. Is it Zach Wilson? Could it be Justin Fields? I think it's Zach Wilson. I think this draft starts at 3. And for me, it's Mac Jones. And I've been saying it, and you've heard me say it even before the 49ers traded up. I've been on Mac Jones for two-plus months now, okay? Second-best quarterback in this draft. Some would argue the best. I'm not. I'm gonna sit with second-best. Why? Why? Accuracy. Best accuracy throwing the ball than any quarterback in this draft, okay? Especially 20 yards or more. On top of that, and this isn't me speaking, just know that I love the draft. I know a lot of scouts in the business. I make a lot of calls. I do a lot of due diligence. And this is what I'm being told. Processes the game better than most. Well, first of all, better than any other quarterback, and even better than Trevor Lawrence, okay? But possibly one of the best to ever play the game in regard to processing. What does that mean? Processing. The minute the huddle breaks, walking to the line of scrimmage and understanding the defenses, reading the defenses and knowing exactly where you're going to go and what you need to do in order to get a playoff. And it's really interesting. I love Colin Cowherd. I listen to Colin Cowherd every day while I sit home and work. I typically have him on. I don't want to call it background noise. It's not noise. I listen. And he's just, not that he's anti-Mac Jones, but he's so pro Justin Fields. And he just went, I just felt like he came after Mac Jones, and he shared this stat that Mac Jones, his percentage of going to his first reads is the most out of any quarterback coming out of the draft this year. Well, a big reason why is because the way that he processes the game, a lot of times, if you know what your first read is, a lot of times you're able to as a quarterback, you're an actor as well. You have the ability to, if you can process and know, okay, here's my first read, and I'm reading what the defense is doing. I see what the safety is. I know where my Mike linebacker is. I'm going to do whatever I can to pull the defensive players away from the guy that I want to go to. So I just don't think that that's a very fair stat that Colin shared on the show. And then he threw out his DUI. He had a DUI when he was when he first had gotten to Alabama. But regardless, I do believe that Mac Jones is going to be the third quarterback taken. And I do believe that he's going to go to the 49ers. And you could wager on that now, and it's back to plus money at plus 120. Why? Oh, because the 49ers attended Justin Fields' pro day. I think that's just ridiculous. If anything, nobody knows Justin Fields like Kyle Shanahan does, because Justin Fields has spent 4 years with the Shanahan family at their quarterback school. So just because the 49ers attend Justin Fields' pro day, listen, I could be so wrong here. And if I am, I will admit it. I will eat crow. I'll say, you know what? I totally had it wrong. But two things. Number one, I do believe that Mac Jones is the second best quarterback in this draft. Number two, I feel that Mac Jones and his style and the way that he plays quarterback, I feel that it fits Kyle Shanahan's system to a T. And here's another thing. For the amount of picks and draft stock that the 49ers gave up to move up to three, they know who they're going to take, and B, they knew that he was going to be there. And again, I do believe it's Mac Jones. And again, you could get that at plus 120. It's back to plus 120 money. Atlanta, very interesting. Like I said, I don't know how they pass on Pitts. I think Pitts is the best player in this draft, but I'm hearing that there's a chance that Arthur Blank, the owner, is going to be in that draft room and saying, I want you to take a quarterback who's going to be the next heir apparent to Matt Ryan. And that quarterback very well could be Trey Lance. I don't get it. I don't see it. I think that would be the biggest mistake. I think it would be a huge, huge mistake for the organization. But you could wager first non-quarterback taken is Kyle Pitts, and you could wager that at plus 140. I think so even though if he doesn't go to Atlanta, can Cincinnati pass up on him? I don't think so. Can Miami pass up on, I just don't think so. I think Pitts will be the first non-quarterback taken. Pitts over under 5.5, which means does he fall below Cincinnati? No. I don't think Cincinnati passes up on Pitts. I just don't. So under 5.5 is minus 130. And then Atlanta taking a tight end is plus 150. And I'll use the word shocked. I'll be shocked and really disappointed in Atlanta if they pass up on Pitts. Cincinnati sitting there at 5. If Pitts is there, I think that's a no-brainer. If he's not, I think they take Penei Sewell. I think they take the offensive lineman. So that's a bet that's out there, over under 6.5. I say under. At that under, you can get it -134. Okay. And then after that, it's interesting, right? Like Carolina, they need offensive line help, especially now that they've got Sam Darnold there. They've got a lot of talent and offensive weapons. They've got a solid defense. Their biggest need is offensive line. But who do you take? Like Slater, I know a lot of people are anticipating Slater to be the second offensive lineman taken, but he's more of a guard. Do you take a guard in the top 10? I wouldn't. I'm not going to take a guard in the top 10. I'm not going to take a guard in the top 20. It's a guard. It's not a tackle. Give me a tackle. I'll take a tackle in the top 10, top 20. I'm not going to take a guard. It's ridiculous. Here's a sure bet for you. Dallas, defensively, they're a hot mess, specifically in their secondary. They are going to take a cornerback. If they stick it, I know that there's talk and speculation that Jerry Jones is going to, like, you know, sell the farm to move up to get Kyle Pitts because he's enamored. They have so many issues, especially on the defensive side of the ball. That would just be ridiculous for them to do that. So I do expect Dallas. And if they were to do it, they'd have to move up in front of Cincinnati. So they would have to move from 10 to 4. And they just don't have a lot of draft capital. And I think that would just really be ridiculous. So I think Dallas is going to stay at 10. And I do believe that they're going to draft Patrick Surtain. And by the way, you could wager that Patrick Surtain is going to be the first defensive player that is going to be taken. I'm looking for those odds right now. I don't have them in front of me, or do I? You can bet that Patrick Surtain is going to be under 10.5, which means he's not going to make it past Dallas, and you could get that at -105. Okay, -105. So I'm just sharing with you. Here's another one: New England. I'm hearing that New England wants Justin Fields. So you know, what do they do? Do they trade with Detroit to move up and get him? How far will Justin Fields fall if, of course, the 49ers don't take him, right? So I see New England taking a quarterback. You can bet that New England takes a quarterback at 6-1. And also you could wager that New England takes Justin Fields at +150. Those are the odds out there. And that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that New England is looking to take Justin Fields, bring him in. Very similar style play to Cam Newton. Have Cam Newton play this year. Have him be the starter. And have Justin Fields develop and learn behind Cam Newton this year. And it would pretty much probably be the same offense that you would implement for Justin Fields that you're going to play with Cam Newton this year. So I think that's in regard to the wagers, the bets that are out there that I really like, those are them. And as you can see, the majority of them that I listed are all plus money. Which, oh, here's another one. This is really interesting. Parsons, the linebacker from Penn State. I think he's a phenomenal talent, but the number of scouts that I'm speaking to, huge character issues, and so he is falling. Now, what's really going to be interesting is the over/under is at 11.5. So what does that mean? It means the line of demarcation is the Giants, right? Because the Giants drafted 11. Now, keep in mind, the Giants have a coach on their staff on the defensive side that coached at Penn State, coached defense at Penn State. So, you know, I think it's really going to be interesting to hear, and not that we will, but I think it'll be really, like, if Parsons gets, in my opinion, if Parsons gets past the Giants, it's because the coach within those walls said, can't trust him. Too immature, too many off the field issues. I wouldn't draft him, I would imagine. But it's a huge advantage that the Giants do have a coach from Penn State that's on their staff that I'm sure knows this young man extremely well. But I find that really interesting. So that's where that stands. If you feel that he's going to go under 11.5, if you feel that the Giants, if he's there and the Giants are going to take him, you can get that at +110. If you feel that the Giants will not take him because all the off the field issues and the immaturity and all that, the over is -125. Kid's unbelievable. I was talking to another scout who said that if he was to stay at Penn State this year and really, you know, improve all those off the field issues, show that he's a leader, there's a chance that he could be the number one overall pick next year. That's how good this young man is. But there's such a concern about his character that there's a chance that he can fall even past the Giants at 11. It's ridiculous, right? So anyway, I hope I gave you some winners.
Zach Wilson and Justin Fields, to me, are very, very different in their skill set. And I think personally, both these guys, if they go to the right spot and the offensive coordinators are able to build their system around what they can do, they both can have great careers. But I think it's hard to say New York definitely got it right or wrong if they go with Wilson, just because, like I said, this kid, Justin Fields, is really 6'3", 225 pounds, runs at 4.4, and can make every throw. He seems to be on a bit of a roller coaster as far as the media has handled Justin Fields over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Now they're hot on him again, saying that San Fran may take him. But I've kind of been the same on he and Trevor Lawrence since the season ended.
That is Kirk Herbstreit talking about Justin Fields. And it has been somewhat of a roller coaster ride, that's for sure. Let's be honest, for him. And I'm sure not easy. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. You want to jump on board. By the way, I want to remind you, the Michael K Show is celebrating its new 2 p.m. start time by giving away $10,000 in the month of April every weekday in the 2 o'clock hour. Be listening for the K Cash Sounder and be ready to call in to claim $500 cash. It's all from your home for the hookup, and that's 98.7 ESPN. Really quick, before we get Moak Hamilton on board, there is a golf tournament going on right now. I know it's after the Masters, so it's kind of like humdrum, but it's a good one. It's Harbortown. It's hard. It's called the Heritage. Right now, Stuart Sink is at the top of the leaderboard at 16 under. You could wager that he's going to win it at anywhere between plus 138, 140, plus 150. He's 16 under. He's got a 5-shot lead. He shot 63 two days in a row. So obviously he is, should I say, he is in sync. I know, cheesy. He's in a zone. He is dialed in, especially on this course. I don't think that's a bad wager. I do like Corey Connors. He's 11 under, so he's 5 shots back. You could wager that he's going to finish in the top five. He's second right now. You could wager that he's going to finish in the top five at minus 125. Again, he's played this course extremely well. Another guy that I do like that you could wager that he's going to finish in the top 10 is Morikawa. Morikawa is 9 under. A few shots back. He's tied for fourth, but again, you believe that he's going to have a solid, few days, the next 2 days. You can get him to finish in the top 10 at plus 110. Some other guys that I like, if you listen to my radio show often, you know that I love Willie Zalatoris. I call him the ATM of golf. Each and every time he tees it up, I say, put money down. It's always plus money that he's going to finish in the top 20. Well, guess what? He's 7 under. He's tied for 11th right now. And you could get him to finish in the top 5 at 3-1. And you could get him to finish in the top 10 at plus 125. And let's be honest, if you listen to me at the start of the tournament, you put money down that he was going to finish in the top 20, you're playing with house money anyway. So there's that. I like Billy Horschel as well. He had a great round today. For him to finish in the top 10 is at minus 125. He's tied for fourth right now at 9 under, and he's had a good 2 days. And last but not least, the other guy that I'm keeping an eye on is Abraham Ancer. He's tied for 11th right now. He's 7 under, and you could get him to finish in the top 10 at plus 150. And for a guy who's had a lot of success, he was the bridesmaid here last year. So for a guy that's had a lot of success on this track, to get him at plus 150, that's really, really good money. So those are my plays heading into the weekend at Harbortown for the Heritage. Before we start talking NBA, I just want to remind you, Jets Nation, get back to football this season at MetLife Stadium from the comfort of your very own luxury suite. You'll experience a Jets game day like never before, including a VIP hospitality, reserved parking, dedicated entrance, and a private outdoor patio space in your own suite. How sweet is that? You can now also leave a deposit for single game rental. Lock in your suite today at nyjets.com/suites or call 1-800- 469-JETS. All right, let's bring in my man, and that is Moke Hamilton. Always love having him on. Always love talking hoops with you. How you doing this evening, Moke?
I'm doing very well. I'm over here hanging out with the two-month-old. We're watching the Sixers and the Clippers, and when she heard we were going to be on the air, man, she got real talkative, Anita. I think she's excited. You know?
I love it. I love it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm watching it as well while I'm hosting the show. One of my prop bets for that game was Embiid to score 25 points and the 76ers to win. So that prop bet is looking mighty nice for me right about now. But let's talk about this Knicks-Mavs game. Listen, last time these two teams faced each other, Luka put up 26 points, but the Knicks are coming in with a four-game win streak. Big game beating the Pelicans, that's for sure. And really, Julius Randle has been just outstanding. Your thoughts on this game and what you feel the Knicks need to do to win and beat the Dallas Mavericks tonight, Moke?
Well, I think, I think it's pretty simple. You know, if they keep their foot on the gas and if they just stay engaged for the entirety of the contest, I think they'll definitely put themselves in good position to walk away with a win. It was definitely a tough loss at the Garden not too long ago. And, you know, there's double incentive to beat the Mavericks, right? So for the Knicks, number one, you know, you obviously want to walk away on the right side of a decision against Kristaps Porzingis. But the other thing is, let's not forget that as a result of the trade that sent KP to Dallas, the Knicks actually have the rights to the Mavericks' first-round pick this year. So, you know, if they score that win and if they can play some small role in the Mavericks potentially not making the playoffs, it means that the Knicks are going to walk away with a lottery pick, you know. So I'm sure there's a little added incentive there for them. And then, as you said, Anita, this would make five wins in a row for the Knicks, and you probably have some people listening to your air right now that are not old enough to remember when they last won five games in a row. So it's a pretty big contest on a number of fronts.
Oh, it's huge. And one thing that sticks out to me is how successful both Julius Randle and RJ Barrett have been from downtown. Randle caught fire as of late, 3-point range, making 7 of 15 in his last two games. And RJ now 45% from behind the arc, averaging 18 points a game. So the 3-point shot really has been benefiting them the last few games.
Yeah, and RJ has been specifically proficient from the corners. You know, it's actually been amazing to see because one of the knocks on him has been that he's not really a strong outside shooter. And 3-point range is definitely not something that he's been marketed as having. And it's funny, it really seems like the turning point for him has been since that tough loss against Minnesota. You know, Anthony Edwards, he kind of went out of his way to throw a little shot at Barrett after the game. You know, people probably saw that. It was all over social media. But, you know, he basically said, hey, you know, RJ is the guy that we want taking those big shots at the end of a game because we're not confident that he can hit them. And since then, you know, I think that has kind of lit a bit of a fire under Barrett, and he's been playing great since then. And yeah, I mean, if you're a fan of his, if you're a Knicks fan, you see the outside shooting, you see what he's really been able to do over the past couple of weeks, and it's no coincidence that the Knicks find themselves entering the contest on a 4-game win streak. So, you know, obviously you hope that it's more indicative of him just becoming a better player than it is him having a good stretch right now. And tonight is obviously going to be another opportunity on national TV against Porzingis for him to show, like, hey, you know what? I'm actually pretty good. I've arrived. And these New York Knicks with me and with Julius Randle, we're no longer a laughingstock. So, again, definitely a big contest for the team and for RJ Barrett himself.
Again, Moke Hamilton joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Nerlens Noel expected not to play tonight. Gibson expected to be in for him. Any concern there in regard to being in the paint, especially, you know, Porzingis actually has been pretty successful as of late, 21 points in five straight games, averaging 21 points in five straight games.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be a concern. Especially because Nerlens Noel, I mean, you can kind of look at the data, you can look at the metrics, and you see that, you know, there is an argument to be made that he in terms of the production for the dollar amount is one of the best contracts in the league this season. You know, I want to say that the Knicks, I want to say they're just paying him a couple million bucks. You know what I mean? But this guy, you know, if you look at some of the advanced metrics related to his block percentage and the team's defensive rating when he's on the court, I mean, it's sky high. And the Knicks enter the competition being one of the top defensive teams in the league. And it's not something that you are used to associating the Knicks with, but Noel's a big part of the reason why they find themselves in that conversation. And, you know, without him, they're definitely going to have some challenges.
All right. Before I let you go, I'm going to throw out a few props. Well, first of all, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the game? And let me call up the spread, where the spread is right now. Knicks getting 6.5. And that's -110. Knicks on the money line, +210. The way that this Knicks team has been balling and as well as they play defense, I might throw some coin on the money line at +210.
Well, I know you're a big fan of the prop bet. 210, I mean, you know, I would definitely consider taking a flyer on it.
I guess my question to you is: do you feel the Knicks have a chance of winning this straight up, or do you feel more comfortable with the +6.5?
Gun to my head, I would probably take them to cover the 6.5. You know, I think even if they walk away losers, that it will be a good competition. I think that there's going to be a lot of incentive and a lot of reason for them to try to get this one. You know what I mean? I don't really think that I would see the Mavericks running away from them and, you know, beating them by more than 6.5. Not usually something I think about, Anita, but now because we're having this conversation and because I'm out there telling your listeners that I like the 6.5, I'm definitely going to be watching the point spread as the game is going.
There you
on,
go.
You know?
All right, really but, quick.
Don't bet against them, basically, is what I'm saying. I think this Knicks
yeah.
team has
no, I just, listen, I just,
well.
I just put money down on him while we were talking. All right, so really quick, Julius Randle over under 2.5 3-pointers, which means he has to knock down 3 in order to win this bet. Over under.
I'll take the over on that.
Yeah, so why?
He can do that.
By the way, you could take it at hold on 1 second. I'm looking for the okay. And that's at +108. Over for Julius Randle, over under 23.5 points. I like the over there too.
I will also go with the over. I think he's been playing strong lately. So I'll go with the over for there also.
Okay. RJ Barrett. Over under 16.5 points. How crucial do you think RJ Barrett's going to be in tonight's game?
I mean, he's going to be huge. And I mean, 16.5, I mean, I would definitely take the over on that. You know, I think that, you know, I don't know what he's averaging over the past couple of games going into the contest, but he's been playing well lately, as we've said. And I mean, 16.5, you know, if you want to have a chance to win this game, if you're Tom Thibodeau, you need RJ to be giving you, you know, 22 to 25 points. So I take the over on that as well.
I love it. Moke, you rock. Always great to hear your voice, my friend. Continue being such a phenomenal papa. Big kiss to your family and have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks so much. You take care.
You got it. Moke Hamilton. Make sure you follow him on social media. He's so great when it comes. I just love talking NBA with him. Without further ado, Cynthia Freeland joins us from the NFL Network. This week, the over-under win totals for all the NFL teams came out. So, Cynthia, let's get into it. Let's start here in our own backyard. The Jets over-under 6. How are you playing this?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, and I think it's going to be more than that, but not much more. Maybe 7. I don't love the situation. But that's just such a low number with 17 games. It feels like to me at least 7, maybe 8 games is a lot more likely.
You know, my thing is, I'm kind of on the fence here, right? I love Robert Saleh, right? I just, if they take Zach Wilson, everything that I hear about, you know, how great of an athlete he is and what a great arm, he's not going to be pro ready. He's just not.
No.
Exactly. So So as much as I love Robert Saleh, as much as I love the fact that they have a lot of draft stock and draft capital, and I think that they're going to get some really good players, the fact that they traded Sam Darnold away and they're more than likely are going to start with a rookie quarterback, whether it's Zach Wilson, which everybody thinks, I know some people as of late thinks it's Justin Fields, but nonetheless, I guess for me, I'm staying away from this because I'm straddling the fence here. And that's kind of how I feel. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is what do I think? This is not one of my – there's 32 teams. You get to pick somewhere else. I'm totally with you. Like, I think it'll be 7, but this is not – there's not a lot of confidence there for me.
The other New York team, and that is the Giants, the over-under total there is 7. I love the over here. What side are you on?
100%. You get to play the Eagles. They're a mess. You get to play, you know, look, we'll split probably with some of the other ones. I think you're right. I think they may have, in my opinion, overspent a bit in free agency, but that doesn't matter once the players are on the field. They're still good players, right? So I think they have a sneakier, better roster than 7 wins might suggest.
Yeah, I love the addition of Galladay, obviously, for the offense. You know, we anticipate Barkley to come back and be, you know, very productive. I love the signing of Adoree Jackson to go alongside Bradberry. You can argue they have a top safety unit in the NFL. And here's another thing, Cynthia. If there's going to be a run on quarterbacks, like I was talking to a scout earlier today, and he was telling me that, you know, because I said, how does Atlanta not draft Kyle Pitts? And he said, because the owner. He said, you know, that owner has a lot of say and dictates a lot in that draft room. And so, you know, if Atlanta might take a quarterback, you might have 4 quarterbacks taken, 1, 2, 3, 4. And if that's the case, boy, there's going to be some really, really great talent that falls to the Giants at 11. So I think they could whether it's an offensive line, maybe it's Slater. I love Parsons. I understand there's a lot of concern there in regard to maturity and off the field issues, but I just think that the Giants are going to be able to get a really, really good player at 11. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I think, you know, look, even if they don't get one of the 2 that you just mentioned, there's still a bunch of really athletic edge rushers. Like you could, let's say those 2 are gone. Let's say Parsons is gone. Let's say Rashawn Slater is gone. Let's say even one of the top wide receivers is gone. They could add, because they did such a nice job in free agency of kind of splitting so that they don't have like just one huge glaring need. They could even take like a Gregory Rousseau or someone, an edge rusher, which I know that doesn't sound like the best, like, you know, like, oh, that doesn't sound so sexy, but like a Jalen Phillips or a Gregory Rousseau, like these guys could provide a lot of long-term value, and they're really top-notch players, and at 11, they could totally, totally snag them. I'm with you. I think they're at least a 500 team, if not more.
Again, Cynthia Freeland, join us here on 98.7 ESPN. Of course, you can see her all over the NFL Network. All right, I'm going to throw out some other over-under totals that caught my eye. And I'm going to start with the one that I love the most, and that is the Atlanta Falcons. I love the over at 7. Listen, Matt Ryan, he might be 32, but he's not chopped liver, okay? The dude can still sling it. I'm excited to see what he's going to do with Arthur Smith, the new head coach. And another thing, and I just said this, like, how dare they pass on Kyle Pitts? I like the over even 100 times more if they draft Kyle Pitts and they put him opposite Julio Jones. And don't forget, there's Hayden Hurst, there's Calvin Ridley, and that there's no defense that's going to be able to stop them, especially in the red zone. So, and their defense, on the defensive side of the ball for Atlanta, they started playing a lot better, even though they didn't win a lot of games. They kept them close, and the defense played a lot better towards the end of the season. So for the Atlanta Falcons, I like the over 7 wins. It's probably one of my favorite bets. What say you?
I think that's a good one. I think that division is going to be interesting because the Saints, you know, they had a weird cap situation, so their free agency has been interesting. They obviously don't have Drew Brees. That's a big problem. So that's going to change the kind of ability of the Saints to kind of dominate the division. You've, of course, got Tom Brady. And they're getting better, so, you know, they even got better somehow. And then you've got Carolina, and I don't know. Carolina's kind of sneaky interesting to me as well, but I think there's a Falcons, I think 7 wins. I think you're right. I think 8, because remember, 8-8 now isn't halfway, right? You got to be 9-8, or you got to be, so I'm with you. I think they're at least a 500 team, if not more.
All right, some other overs. That sounds funny. Some other overs that I like. One is the Jacksonville Jaguars. I feel that there are two pro-ready quarterbacks coming out in this draft. One is, as we know, is Trevor Lawrence. The other one, in my opinion, is Mac Jones. But I like that he's aligning himself with Urban Meyer. I think, obviously, huge upgrade at the coaching position. Bevel, who's going to be his offensive coordinator, of course, you hear that, you know, or you know, you've seen him really do wonders with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's first few years with the Seattle Seahawks. They add Marvin Jones Jr., Shaq Griffin as well. I think they're going to make some good picks. I think six is a really low number, especially in that division. Tennessee, they take a big hit in their secondary. The Texans are a dumpster fire, let's be honest. I think over six wins, I think, is a safe play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. What do you think?
I have, so this is super early, but I don't love them in a free agent move. So, right, for me, six is the number. So, I mean, even with the dumpster fire that is the Texans, and I think they win, the under 4.5 or 5 or whatever it is, I think Texans are like a 3-win team. But I don't know. Jacksonville, to me, six is the number this season. Now, if you want to talk about next season, we can talk about next season. But I don't know how they're going to address some of their defensive issues.
All right, let's talk about some of the unders, and one that might surprise a lot of people, and that is the Tampa Bay Bucks, under 11.5. I think they were the luckiest team last year in regard to the way that they blew through the postseason. I don't believe they should have beat the Packers. I don't believe they should have beat the Saints. But more importantly, they were the healthiest team in the NFL. And Cynthia, you know this. We see this time and time again, right? We see teams that avoid the injury bug one season, but it's next to impossible to do that two years in a row. And they went out, they brought back all their marquee players, but they don't have a lot of depth, especially in the offensive line. And that is the most important position when it comes to Tom Brady and keeping him clean, as we like to say it. And I think that division is going to be competitive. I know a lot of people are down on Taysom Hill, whether it's Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. I think the Saints are going to be competitive. I like the signing or the trade with Sam Darnold going to the Panthers. I think it's going to be a much more competitive division. So I'm under 11. 11.5 is a big number as well, don't you think?
Yeah, 11.5. I mean, look, we have 17 games, so remember that's more like 11 from last season. So that's too big of a number. I think 10 would probably be somewhere I'd be like more interested in it. But I'm with you, 11.5. It's not to say that they won't make it to the postseason. No one's being crazy here. We're just saying that's a lot for the regular season. I'm totally with you.
Two other unders that I like. I like the Patriots under. I know they made a lot of noise in free agency, but a lot of the guys that they signed were guys that have had injury issues, and they're more role players as opposed to playmakers. And I'm just not sold on Cam Newton. And another under that I like is the Cowboys. So the Patriots are at 9. The Cowboys are at 9.5. I think people are not paying enough attention or not talking enough about the ankle injury to Dak Prescott. For us to sit back and just automatically assume he's going to come back this year and be what he was before after that horrific ankle injury, I think we're being a little bit naive here. Their offensive line is not the same, and they've got some big issues on the defensive side of the ball. So under 9.
Yeah, I was going to say the defense. Geez,
yeah.
Tell me about their corners, because
exactly.
They're going to draft one, I think, but sheesh, that is not a great team.
So you're with me with the cow. You're with me with the cow. You're with me the Cowboys under 9.5.
Yes, but I'm not saying that they're not good, but also Washington is really good. So be careful, people. Don't overestimate the Cowboys just because of Dak. You know, you got to play defense too. It's really hard to play defense without any corners.
That is true. In Washington, that's another over that I like. Over 8.
Well, the Cardinals, they have kind of a boomer bust team, right? They got a bunch of veteran players. They added J.J. Watt. They added A.J. Green. Okay, I get it. They're not J.J. Watt of, the most magnificent time of his life, right? But they got a really good deal in an O-lineman because there was a mass exodus from the Raiders. So I think that they're going to be able to be a sneaky contender in that division where there's some mess going on. I don't know if I think the Rams are going to be very good. They have a lot of mess. They did not bring back a lot of the same players. You talk about, what's going on. I love Matthew Stafford, don't get me wrong, but this is going to be difficult. And the Niners, they're going to have a rookie quarterback. We all pretty much assume that. So that's an interesting one, too. And I also think when you have pressure like they have, I think, you know, this is a make or break year for Cliff Kingsbury. You know, like this is, they gotta figure it out. And it seems like they've been really pushing hard to, you know, make that roster a contender. They've got, you know, they're picking right in the middle of the first round. So we'll see what they get to do there. They could get some good talent to fall for them. And I think the Seahawks, they've got a lot of questions on their defense too. So this is one where you could see some great upside.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.